All right, so we're in the story of Joseph, and Joseph's been sitting in the pits for a while. He's been in prison for a while, and I know there's a lot of you that probably can relate with Joseph. We can all relate with Joseph because the story of Joseph is all of our life story, amen? And so our purpose is what can we learn from this story? And so I want you to know that at the end of this message, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond. Because one of the things that I've been praying about is, God, I need a real life Joseph. I need you to show me a real life Joseph where we can see someone who's gone through difficult times. They've been in the prisons, they've been in the pits, and all of a sudden you raise them up and they have their moment. And in that moment, they know and believe, this is what I was created for. And then we see God do something incredible. A few years ago, a woman by the name of Corrie Ten Boom, some of you may know that name, she and her family were arrested and imprisoned because they were giving aid to the Jewish people. The Third Reich was out to destroy these people, and what Corrie Ten Boom and her family were doing is they were hiding the Jewish people in their house. Well, they were arrested. And when they were arrested and they were thrown into prison, one of the guards said to Corrie Ten Boom's father, who was 84 years old, you know that not only are you going to be arrested, but you're going to be sentenced to death for what you've done. And his response to the guard was, I find it a great honor to be chosen to die for God's chosen people. And you know what? Just a few days later, guess what? He gave his life for that very cause. Now, Corrie Ten Boom and her sister Betsy were taken to the famous Ravensbrück prison camp. And this is where they spent the rest of their time. While they were there, Betsy got really sick. And on the night before she died, she and Corrie had just the last few moments together. And this is what she said to Corrie. There is no pit so deep that he is not deeper still. Are you not glad to hear those words? That no matter how deep you go, God will always be with there. They will listen to us, Corrie, because we have been there. You see, Corrie began to realize that God had created her for a special purpose, just like he's created all of you. And in that perfect timing, when the time is right, God is going to raise you up and you're going to have your opportunity. And that's exactly what happened to Corrie. One day, she was released from the prison. You know how she was released? A clerical error. 7 days later, all of the women her age were put to death in that prison camp. Corrie began to realize more and more that God was using her and preparing her for something. Corrie talked about that when she was in prison, she would lead the worship services and she would read from the Bible. Now, the way they got a Bible is that somebody had snuck one in and somebody asked her, Corrie, weren't you ever scared that one of the guards would come up and catch you during one of these worship services? And here's what she said. Every time we had a worship services, the guards stayed clear. How does that happen? God provided and he protects as he gathers his own unto himself. On the day that Corrie was released, she tells about how the gates swung open and the words that came to her mind were this, I have put before you an open door, and what God has opened, no man can shut. And Corrie knew she had a mission. And that mission was to go and speak and offer forgiveness. Corrie talks about one night she was in Munich, Germany. And she was talking about all of the wrongs that have been done and how we are to forgive. And the ones that we forgive, those are the ones who have put themselves in their own prison because of unforgiveness. And then one night she talks about she was standing after the service and out of the corner of her eye, she saw him. It was a gentleman who was walking towards her and she recognized him. He was one of the guards at the prison at Ravensbrück where she was. She could feel herself stiffen up and tighten up because she knew what he was there for. And sure enough, as he came closer, he said, "Fraulein," he said, "your message of forgiveness is powerful." And then he reached out his hand and he said, "Can you forgive me?" Corey talks about in her own mind, she was thinking, "No, I can't, and I won't forgive." But then there was something that spoke to her, and it just said, "No, you can't, Corey, but I can." And slowly but surely, God raised her hand, and she shook that man's hand, and they embraced, and she had forgiven him. You know what Corey's job was? Her job, her mission, was to release the prisons that people had put themselves in. And my dear friends in Christ, that's what God wants to do in your life. He doesn't want you living in a prison because of your sin and because of your guilt. He wants you free, and that's why he sent Jesus. Now, Joseph has a mission too. He's in prison, but everything is about to change. Stand with me out of respect for God's word. As I read from the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 41, I'm going to read verses 38 through 40, and then the first part of verse 46. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards the throne will I be greater than you." Now Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. This is God's word for God's people. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I believe with all my heart that this morning you want to speak to us a truth, a very deep truth. And I pray, Lord God, that our hearts would be ready to receive what you have for us. And I pray, Lord God, more than anything, remind us once again that your plans can never be thwarted. So when I think my way is better, don't let my plans interfere with your perfect way. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Wow. So as I said, you remember Joseph's still in prison. It's been a couple years since we've heard from him. The Bible really doesn't tell us what he's been doing in prison, but you and I both know, don't we? He's been doing what he's been doing every day of his life. When he enters into a room, a light comes on because it's the light of Jesus Christ shining in his life. Everywhere Joseph went, things changed because he always made them better. And the Bible tells us why. Because God was with him, right? So because God was with him, God blessed everything he did and everyone he was around. So Joseph is going about his daily work, but there's a thought that keeps coming back into his mind. He remembers a conversation that he had 2 years previous. And the conversation was with the chief cupbearer to Pharaoh. Do you remember it? He and the baker were in prison, and they had dreams. The Bible tells us that Joseph saw that they were troubled. So what did Joseph do? He went over to them and he wanted to find out what's going on. How can I help you? They told him the dream, and remember, Joseph interpreted them. But do you remember what Joseph said to the chief cupbearer just before he left? He said, "Remember what I told you and mention my name to Pharaoh." You see, when Joseph told him that, he thought, "This is my ticket out of here. I know he won't forget me. Nobody would do. After everything I did for him, I know he's going to remember me." And the Bible tells us that the cupbearer forgot Joseph. In fact, it means he intentionally forgot him. Now, one of the things that we learn in this story of Joseph, and I know all of you know this already, and that is this. Before anything happens in the physical world, it's always completed in the spiritual world first. Understand? In other words, during this time, God has been working behind the scenes in the spiritual world, getting everything ready. And when everything is in the right place, in his perfect timing, now he comes into the physical world and he makes it evident. And here's how he begins this story. Pharaoh can't sleep. Pharaoh is sleeping and he wakes up. He's a little disturbed, the Bible tells us, because he's had a dream. Then he goes back to sleep, and guess what? He can't sleep again, and so he wakes up again. Only this time, the Bible tells us that he is very perplexed. Why? Because he's had a couple dreams. Now, I don't know about you. My wife has dreams sometimes. And she'll say, oh, I just had this dream, and I'll go, it's just a dream. But you know what? It was different for Pharaoh. And the reason is because the Egyptians believed that the God spoke divine truths through dreams. Pharaoh knew that this wasn't any ordinary dream, and he knew that gods were trying to speak to him, and he's frustrated because he can't figure it out. So here's the rule in Pharaoh's house. If Pharaoh doesn't sleep, nobody sleeps. So what does he do? He calls his brain trust together. We'll pick it up story here in the Bible. So in the morning, his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them to Pharaoh. Now, Pharaoh relies on these people. It's probably 10 or 15 people that he respects and have been with him all through his leadership. And he's hard on these people because he expects a lot of them. So when he brings them in, his expectation is they're going to interpret his dream. And guess what happens? They can't. Now, I want to remind you of something, my friends. This is very important to understand. No one can interpret God's dreams unless God reveals to them what he is doing. Look what the Bible teaches us in Psalm 25. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make them know his covenant. In other words, here's what God is saying. When God is getting ready to do something, he'll let you know. Until then, be faithful. And that's what he's called Joseph to doing, and that's exactly what Joseph is doing. But in the meantime, Pharaoh now is very frustrated. Nobody can help him. And when Pharaoh gets angry, sometimes people lose their heads, literally. Now, all of a sudden, the timing is perfect in the spiritual world, and now it shows itself in the physical world, and there's a chief cupbearer who is suddenly healed of his amnesia. He's part of Pharaoh's group. Certainly, Pharaoh's up. He's going to have some tea or something that's going to try and calm him down. And the chief cupbearer there all of a sudden goes, oh, yeah, now I remember. Pharaoh, there was a guy in prison. And then he's thinking, oh, do I want to go any farther with this? But there was a guy in prison. Do you remember that time when you were really upset with me and the baker? You remember the baker 2 years ago? He's no longer with us. But do you remember that? When we were in prison, we had dreams. And while we were there, guess what? This Hebrew guy told us our dreams. Well, let's see what the Bible says about this. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, I remember my offenses today. Now you know why he intentionally forgot his offenses, don't you? When Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me and the chief baker in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, we dreamed on the same night, he and I, each having a dream with its own interpretation. A young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. When we told him, he interpreted our dreams to us, giving an interpretation to each man according to his dream. And as he interpreted to us, so it came about, I was restored to my office and the baker was hanged. Now, here's what I believe is happening. Pharaoh was saying, get on with this. Hurry up and tell me. But when you look at this passage right here, there's four words that Pharaoh remembers. What do you think they are? So it came about. Pharaoh's thinking, now, wait a minute. I remember that. Yeah, I threw you in prison and then the baker. And I remember I impaled him on and I brought you back. I remember that. So now, what is his response? Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they quickly brought him out of the pit. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh. So what's Pharaoh's response? Go get this guy. Go get this Joseph guy, this Hebrew. Now, we see Pharaoh is desperate because what leader is going to go and get a prisoner to help him interpret his dreams? Meanwhile, in prison, Joseph is sitting, getting ready to start another day. He's still wondering, God, have you forgotten me? It's been 2 years, but you know what? I know you have a plan. I'm going to trust your plan, and I'm going to go about my work. Slave, take a bath, shave, and put these clothes on. Just like that, everything changes. So Joseph is now getting ready to go stand in front of the most powerful man in the world. Ha! Only God could do that. So these men, they come down, they get Joseph. They make sure he gets a bath. They shave him because the only people in those days who had beards were foreigners and prisoners. They get him all smelling clean. They put on these robes, and now they march him to Pharaoh. Well, let's think for a minute back at Pharaoh, where Pharaoh is sitting in his throne room. I wonder what he's thinking. I can't believe I'm doing this. A prisoner? But you know what? What if he's right? You know what? I'm just going to go with this, and we're just going to see what happens. On the other side, now we have Joseph with the guards walking to see Pharaoh, and they're telling him, explaining to him three very important rules. Number one, don't you dare talk to Pharaoh unless he talks to you. Number two, your eyes are not to meet his unless he asks you a question. And number three, the most important thing, only answer the question, do not offer advice. Those were the three rules if you went to meet Pharaoh. So all of a sudden, here comes Joseph, and he comes into Pharaoh's throne room, and all of a sudden, Pharaoh's kind of looking at him. Now, I want you to just think about this for a second, based on what the Bible has said about Pharaoh. Pharaoh's sitting there looking at him, and he goes, boy, he sure don't look like no prisoner. Man, look at the way he carries himself. Head up high, shoulders back. He's a very good-looking young man. Oh, he's got some guns on them arms, too, I see. Remember, it said he was well-built? So all of a sudden, here comes Pharaoh, and all of a sudden, or here comes Joseph, all of a sudden, Pharaoh's thinking, wow, I never thought this is the kind of guy that I might be talking to. All right, so when Joseph comes in, and he now bows down before Pharaoh, there's no introductions. Pharaoh goes directly into why he's brought him here. So let's look at what that is. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, behold, in my dream, I was standing on the banks of the Nile. He said, I don't care who you are. Here's my problem, and I want you to take care of it. 7 cows, plump and attractive, came up out of the Nile and fed in the reed grass. 7 other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and thin, such as I had never seen in all the land of Egypt. And the thin, ugly cows ate up the first 7 plump cows. But when they had eaten them, no one would have known that they had eaten them, for they were still as ugly as it was in the beginning. Then I awoke. I also saw in my dream 7 ears growing on one stalk, full and good. 7 ears withered, thin, and blighted by the east wind, sprouted after them, and the thin ears swallowed up the 7 good ears. And I told it to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. Now, I want you to understand what happens here. Pharaoh tells Joseph, I've had 2 dreams. And what you need to know is what we're going to find out is that it really wasn't 2 dreams. The Bible tells us it was 1 dream. And both of the dreams had to do with the poverty and the prosperity of Egypt. And in both dreams, the poverty devoured the prosperity. Now, this is what God is doing. God is giving a picture of the health in Egypt. He's given them a view of what is about to happen because the Egyptians believed. They believed that because of the Nile, they were self-sufficient. They didn't need anybody else to help them. And their livestock and their crops were the symbol of their security. Now, I want to stop for just a second and take a side note, and I want to ask you this question. You know, did you notice how God gets the attention of important people? Have you ever been someplace and maybe you want to get to talk to somebody and you can't get to them because they're busy, or you try and call or you send them and you can't ever get to them? Did you notice how God gets their attention? What does he do? He gives Pharaoh a problem that he can't solve. And my friends, I don't know about you, but that's the way God works in my life too. When I begin to go off that path that he's given to me to walk, he gives me a little rope to kind of step off to the side. But then when I get a little bit too far, he gives me something that I cannot solve on my own. So what do? I have to come back to him and get the answer. So here's Pharaoh. He's now given this word to Joseph. And next to Pharaoh stands the chief cupbearer. At this time, he's thinking, you know what? Now Joseph is going to make me look really, really good. Look at what happens here. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream and no one can interpret it, but I've heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. I cannot do it, Joseph replied. Now I want to stop there for a second. I think this is hilarious. Here's the cupbearer. He's standing there. He's all excited. And the Pharaoh says, Joseph, so he's, I've heard you're the one that can do it. And what does Joseph do? He says, nope, can't do it. I think the cupbearer just kind of goes, wouldn't you? I mean, he's thinking, yeah, this is the guy. He's gonna give it all that. But then Joseph goes on and then he says, but God can. But God can. If we want to be used as a church, if you want to be used as an individual by God, this is what you need to be able to have in your repertoire. You have to have the attitude that you can't do it, but God can. When I look at this church, and I go back to the very first time when God spoke a word to me in Berlin, Germany in May. And I knew that God had said to me, I'm bringing you and Lori back to Wichita. Nobody else knew it, but I knew it because God told me. It was a whole year before we came back. It was 6 months before I talked to anybody else about that position. But in that time, God told me, I'm bringing you back, and he told me what he was going to do. You know what my words to God were? Was this. God, I can't do it, but if you do it through me, I'll give you all the glory. And that's the same attitude that all of us have adopted, have we not? When God has given us a vision now for the Central Community Landing, all of us at one time or another, even I thought, we can't do that. And God's right there saying, you're right, you can't. Oh, but I can. And if you would just come before me and humble yourselves, I'll do a work in and through you where I'm going to get the glory. Do you believe that? How can you not? The chapel stands there as evidence to God's glory. And my friends, he's not done with us yet. He is not done with us yet. And all we have to do is we have to continue to remember the story of Joseph, that on our knees, when he comes to us and he gives us a task, our response is, I can't do it, God, but I know you can. And so right now, let's remind God of our attitude and our hearts. And let's just say to him, I can't do it, but you can. Let's say it together. Ready? I can't do it, but you can. Do you believe that? I hope you do. Now, last week, I remember after I was done preaching, I had a young man come up and stand next to me, and he had a question for me. He may be here this morning, I don't know. And his question for me was this: hey, I'm not sure how I do this, but I have a Hindu friend who doesn't know who Jesus is. And I want to know, what do I need to do? What can I do so that he can know Jesus? Now, as I was talking to him, in my heart, I'm thinking, thank you, God, because my prayer has been that in all of our lives, what breaks God's heart would break ours. And he loves this friend. That's why he came. Now, here's what we all know. None of us can talk somebody else into being a believer, right? So here's what I told him. Just follow the example of Joseph. Wherever you are, just be what God has called you to be. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your heavenly Father. Just be what God has called you to be, and then allow God to raise you up. Did you know that they tell us right now that to get someone to be a Christian, it takes on an average of 7 touches. So when someone says to me, well, I've talked to them a couple of times, you know what? They've rejected me both times. I don't think I need to go talk to them again. And here's what I keep telling you. You go back and you go back and you go back and you go back. And here's why. You know what the difference is between touch number 1 and touch number 7? It's about what God has allowed them to go through to get them to a place where they can receive Jesus. There is a world out there, my friends, many of them who don't know who Jesus is. They're looking for the truth. They're just looking for it in all the wrong places. And what does Jesus say? He says, who will go for me? Who will go? Who can I send? And you know what our response has to be? I'll go, Lord. I'll go, send me. Do you remember why Joseph, or what God's purpose was for Joseph? His purpose was to get Joseph and present him to Pharaoh. Why? So God could work in him and through him. Watch this. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good ears are 7 years. The dreams are one. The 7 lean and ugly cows that came about after them are 7 years, and the 7 empty ears blighted by the east wind are also 7 years of famine. It is as I told Pharaoh, God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. There will come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, but after them there will arise 7 years of famine, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. The famine will consume the land, and the plenty will be unknown in the land by reason of the famine that will follow, for it will be very severe. And the doubling of Pharaoh's dream means that the thing is fixed by God, and God will shortly bring it about. So here's what Joseph says. He goes, Pharaoh, you didn't have 2 dreams, you had 1. And the reason you've heard that dream twice is because God is showing you what he is about to do. And what he is about to do, he is about to do quickly. The fact that he told you twice means prepare for famine. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever my dad told me once and then he told me a second time, I knew I better get hopping, right? And that's what God is doing. He is telling Pharaoh through his servant Joseph, this is about what's to happen. Now watch this. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Did you hear what he just did? He did what he was told not to do. You are not supposed to speak to Pharaoh and give him advice. But here's what I want you to understand. This is where we see the iron-souled leader in Joseph. Joseph has been prepared for this moment. And now Joseph says, now listen, Pharaoh, I know you're a wise man. Guess what? You need to get ready, and you need to get ready now. And here's how you're going to do it. And you know what? Pharaoh is ready and willing to listen to him. Now, what did Joseph tell Pharaoh? When God reveals his purpose, it's always a call to action. Please don't forget this. When God reveals to you what he's about to do, it's a call to action. And at that moment, you are out of the center of God's will until you are obedient. So what has God told you to do? What has God impressed on your heart of the vision that he has in your life and the part you play in this church as he works through the leadership here? When you hear God's word, it's God saying, it's time to get up and get going. Now, did you hear what the plan was? God said the famine was coming and it's time to get going. You know what the plan was? To double the tithe. To double the tithe. This proposal pleased Pharaoh and all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said it to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he made him ride in his second chariot. And they called out before him, bow the knee. Thus he set him over the land of Egypt. So here's what God was saying to Joseph. Joseph, here's the plan. Just as you have kept me in the front of your life and made me the center of your life, so I'm going to do the same thing in Egypt. And here's how I'm going to put myself in the place of Egypt. Egypt, this foreign nation, is going to double their tithe to me. What's Egypt saying? Egypt is going to be declaring, whether they know it or not, that their depending is coming from me. And not only am I going to feed Egypt, I'm going to feed the entire world. And Pharaoh goes, great plan. And so Pharaoh does three things. Joseph, here's my ring. From now on, you speak for me. And anything that happens and anything that goes on, you're my spokesperson. This ring is your signet ring. Your stamp means it's approved. Here's the second thing he did. He gave him a new robe. Now, I want you to learn something about this. Joseph had a problem with robes, didn't he? Remember, his first robe he lost, his brothers ripped it off of him. And the second robe, well, Potiphar's wife has that robe. But now he has a new robe. And here's what I want you to remember, and this is what I want you to hold. He held on to this robe for 80 years. Joseph served in Pharaoh's court from the time he was 30 until the time he was 110. 12 years of training for 80 years of faithful service. And then God did one more thing just to show off. Do you remember when Joseph had his dreams? His first dream was that his brothers would bow down to him. Remember that? And then his second dream was that his whole family would bow down to him. Now look what happens here. Now he's in the chariot, and all of Egypt will bow down to him. That's Joseph's dream on steroids. Here's the message. The dreams that God gives you are only a small portion of what he wants to do in and through you. He's only going to give you what you can handle. But I can promise you this, if you give the dream back to him, in other words, live in the center of his being, he will give you back the dream bigger than what you could ever think or imagine. So how did Joseph become a man that God could promote? Here's the first thing. Joseph had a big vision. And that's what we need to have. We need to have a big, hairy, bodacious vision. It means to be so big that we can't do it on our own. But here's one thing I've learned about visions. You will be tested and tried in your vision. Because your vision will be tested to see if you have the strength to stick to your vision. There are people who are going to tell you, you can't do it. There are going to people who are going to walk out on you because they don't believe that you have the ability to do it. But you stick to your guns and you stick with your vision. If God has given it to you, he will bring it about. Amen? So stick around, Central Community, because the world is about to see what God is getting ready to do. Here's the second thing. Joseph gave all the credit to God. That's what we're going to do. Somebody gives you credit, just let it reflect off of you and right to him. Look at these scripture verses. Joseph answered Pharaoh, "It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer." Here's another example. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do." Here's the next one. "It is as I told Pharaoh. God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do." And finally, "And the doubling of Pharaoh's dream means that the thing is fixed by God, and God will shortly bring it about." And here's the third thing. Joseph was controlled by the Holy Spirit. Look at this. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God?" If you want to know about how we know someone has the Spirit of God is just watch them in conflict. The way we react and act in conflict, that's how the Spirit of God becomes visible in us. In fact, if you go to Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about what that Spirit looks like. What the Spirit looks like in crisis. And you know what the very next phrase is? Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. In other words, crisis begins in families, right? And I believe God's word is saying is that, yes, we can tell that you're controlled by the Spirit simply by the way you handle conflict. And in family, there is conflict, so that's where the Spirit needs to be seen more than anywhere. So back in Potiphar's house, Potiphar comes home one day. "Honey, we have a party tonight." "Oh, really? Who's it for?" "Well, Pharaoh just put somebody new in charge." "Oh, really? Who is it?" "Remember that story you told about that Hebrew slave that we had in our house?" "Oh, yes, I remember that." "Well, I sure hope you were telling the truth." "Well, why is that?" "I report to him for work tomorrow." You don't have to worry about getting revenge. God always takes care of that. And so here's how I want to close. We were in Dallas, our staff, this last week, and I heard a pastor say how he was struggling to get his sermon, and God had been giving him a message for 35 years, and on this one he was struggling, and then he felt like God said, "Well, I've been doing it for 35, so I'm certainly going to do it this time." And so I just pray, "God, how do you want to end this? Boy, it'd sure be nice if we had a real-life Joseph. You could show us exactly what it is that we're supposed to look like." Well, the TV was on. And God said, "Look at this." A few weeks ago, there was a black man who was shot in his apartment by a police officer. Her story was that she came to the wrong floor. When she got to what she thought was her apartment, the door was already open, and she heard somebody in there. When she walked in, there was a black man standing there, and she shot him twice, and he died. She went through the court system, and she got 10 years for what she did. Outside the courthouse, there were all kinds of protesters. But on the day that she was sentenced, and the family members had an opportunity to speak to her, Joseph showed up. Watch this.
I know I can speak for myself. I forgive you. And I know if you go to God and ask him, he will forgive you. But I love you just like anyone else. And I'm not gonna say I hope you rot and die just like my brother did, but I personally want the best for you. And the best would be give your life to Christ. Again, I love you as a person. And I don't wish anything bad on you. I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please?
Yes.
That's Joseph. That's Joseph. One of the things that I think was so funny about that, and you didn't get to hear this, but when he asked the first time if I can give her a hug, everybody was looking around like, nobody asks that. Can we do that? I don't know if you realize, but the judge was in tears. And the judge gave that woman a Bible. And now they're coming after her because she gave her a Bible. There were protesters that were going on outside, and all of the protesters stopped. And what you didn't hear was how this officer, this young lady, wailed because she had never felt what forgiveness looks like. I laughed so hard when they went to all of the news people because nobody knew what to say. They were all looking at each other. Boy, we've never had that before. What do you say about that? Okay, accept Christ. They were just dumbfounded. But my friends, that's the power of God working in one life. He went through a horrible tragedy. But in the end, when he had his opportunity, he gave all the glory to God. And now here we are, and everybody around the United States is talking about this. You can do that. You can be that church, that Joseph. Not in your own strength, but in God's.